Good morning.
Oh.
You're on actual.
Hello.
You're on actual.
Perf. Let Sam know that that happened.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You should be. You're on.
Off.
You should be on.
Can you hear me, McGinnis?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
I hear
yeah,
you.
Now, yeah.
They can turn themselves.
Now, yeah, now that, well, yeah, now that I've realized I should read what the little things say.
Yeah, that normally helps. Reading fundamental, as my dad would say.
Okay. Oh, wait, we're on right now, aren't we?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Cup of Hockey.
That's not what it's called.
That's not what it's called.
What is it called?
You're five for Fighting Irish.
Game misconduct for...
Five
for interference. Intent to injure. Yes, welcome back to WVFI's premier hockey talk show, I think.
Only? Question mark?
Probably.
It's gotta be.
If there's someone else, I apologize. Andrew McGinnis alongside Ryan Murphy and Tyler Reedy. Three people whose favorite NHL teams have been giving them some hope so far this season. The Habs won in overtime last night.
I gotta say, I woke up this morning, I had seen none of the game last night. I watched the highlights, and I was jumping around in the common room of our quad, and it was totally irrational considering the Canadians just beat the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it's October, and the Canadians are always at their best.
In 2019, that win would have been huge.
I'm going to take the happiness while it's still kicking around.
Were you able to do like the watch highlights before getting spoiled about the score?
No, I did know the score, which I was okay with.
Okay.
You know, I actually was at the Notre Dame game last night, and when Landon scored the overtime winner, I looked at my phone afterwards, and I had saw that Cole had just scored the overtime winner. I actually didn't know it was Cole. I know that the Canadians scored the overtime winner, so I was pretty happy, man, around like 10 o'clock last night.
Tyler, Connor Bedard.
Yeah, I don't know how exactly Chicago's supposed to be giving me hope while they're in the bottom of the Central.
Because they have Connor Bedard.
This is true. And the strength of schedule's been brutal so far. I think the Blackhawks have played Colorado, Vegas, Boston, Vegas. They're about to end that four-game stretch against undefeated teams tonight. So hopefully things turn around a little bit. But yeah, it's been fun to watch Mr. Bedard. He's played expectations so far, even against some of the toughest guys on every team. That's who he's seen, because Blackhawks unfortunately don't have a ton of forward depth around him to take some of the pressure off, but he's still performing. I saw they were working him a little extra harder on faceoffs over the past week or so, which is good to see. Got off to a little bit of a rough start.
Yeah, has he improved on faceoffs?
I feel like all young centers struggle on faceoffs.
I feel like he was noticeably bad.
Yeah, well, they brought in the guy that had mentored Jonathan Toews. So
okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, hopefully there's a bit of a long-term change there. But he's getting a little bit better. He is.
Good.
Does he have any
two-goal games yet?
He does not. He scored one at Boston, and then he scored a minute and a half to Vegas, which is the game I wanted to go to, but I stayed here to watch Notre Dame lose 8-2. So that's just how it goes.
Yikes.
Well, you know, I mean, he's good, but that means he's slacking behind Bobby Brink in the Calder Trophy race.
Hey, there's a lot of time. A lot of games left.
Two goals last night,
yeah,
baby.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia Flyers here for a second. What on earth is going on? They're supposed to be terrible.
Towards hockey, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta love it. Honestly, so like with the the Flyers always start the season well. I'm gonna move the mic with
me. Sounds familiar.
Which is smart. Like, I wrote an article for the Hockey Writers, who I write for. Last year their start was, I think, 7-3-2.
Puts things this year in context.
Well, yes, they started 7-3-2 last year. The year before that, they started 8-4-2, and the year before that, 8-3-2.
I see where we're
going
with this.
However, in all of those seasons, they were like absolutely garbage. And when you looked at their play driving metrics, and they were either just getting a ton of saves or like all their shots were going in, and that has not been the case so far this season. They are like top 10 in expected goals percentage, which is good.
XG.
It's good. Yeah, and they're getting a lot of like guys, like the depth is fleshing out a little bit. That fourth line that's supposed to just be like a physical black hole has been like physical but good, kind of. So, yeah.
Reason for optimism.
Yes. Although, I mean, I'm still not sure if it's good that they're winning right now or not. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm just looking at your schedule moving forward here, and I mean, I think you're going to keep winning through about mid-November. I mean, the schedule doesn't really stiffen up at all until you get to
especially the way Carolina's defense is playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, you got Buffalo, Los Angeles, San Jose, Anaheim, L.A. again. I mean, those aren't brutal teams to face this early in the season. It's going to get rough toward Christmas, but you guys could be in it for a while, I think.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll definitely have some NHL talk throughout this show. Why don't we get into the Irish first, and then we'll do my favorite part of the day, Puktoku. But first.
All right. So
our biggest fan.
Your biggest fan. Hi, guys. Thank you so much. Jacob Irons here, the listener from NDTV and loves this show. I would like to say, I want to bring up a point that I brought up in the first show. My man, JJ, has been doing wonders right now. He has been playing well, and he has been playing smart, and he has been playing exactly how I said, that he's got a point to prove. Am I wrong on any metric? I give everybody to all of you. One metric, Murph.
He's got a point. He's got a point to prove, but he's only got 2 points on the season.
That's it. He's done everything
one
right.
One point to prove, 2 points on the season.
The net, and he's gonna.
Okay, so let's play this game. You guys love this. We're in week 3. It will come. Like, we don't want his goals and points now.
Oh yeah, obviously.
Okay, but we could we have used them? Could we have used them in the 8-2 loss to beat you? Yes, we could have. But I don't think that's necessary. I think we need them in Michigan, in the barn. Come on, I'm smart here. Like, I'm talking like I know something. We need them there, and I think that's when I'm fine him cashing in later in the year. He's got 2. He will get there.
Much like the great Roy Kent, we need him here, there, and every bleeping where.
Well, I think
FTT majors.
Woo! Well, I think we have a different Western Conference draft pick to talk about. Who scored the overtime winner last night?
And his name is Cole Knuble. Flyers are going to the West.
We're still getting there with him. I like the way he's playing, especially down low. But Landon Slager, 5 goals,
15 shots for Cole Knuble this year, tied for 3rd on Notre Dame's roster.
Hey, we'll take it. He's. I like that Janicki Knuble line. The points haven't been there yet, but Trevor scored last night. We're getting there with them. But Landon Slager, Landon Slager's putting the puck in the net. Gotta love to see it. He's just 2 away from matching his goals scored from last year.
That was literally gonna be my question. I'm like, he's about to like tie last year's total in the first like month of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just crazy snake bit last year. And obviously right now he has a 38.5 shooting percentage. So I don't think that's sustainable. But all I'm saying is he's probably gonna play next to Bedard in April.
The thing with Landon, I said this to you during the game last night, like after his first goal, he's standing on top of the blue paint again. And like that's where he's got a couple of his goals, 3 of his goals so far this year, 3 of the 5 come right in that area. Like I've seen him more in that grade A area this year than I feel like most of the season last year. And he's getting his stick free too, and that's working out for him. I agree with you, the 38.5 shooting percentage is probably not sustainable. But
no, I want to hear you disagree with me. I want to hear you say he can
it
get
is
40.
Sustainable.
He can get 40.
He will
baby.
Get 40. No, he talked about in the post game last night too. Just focusing on playing the game the right way, and I think that's what I've been. Obviously, the puck's going in the net, so it's easy to be impressed with someone playing the game the right way when they're scoring goals. But been really impressed with him so far. How not to be, right?
Yeah, I think it was during that preseason press conference that you and I attended, Murph. Someone asked him, you know, what are you trying to do to get the puck back in the net this year and return to where you were freshman, sophomore year, production-wise? And he was talking a little bit about finding ways to finish around the net and just get the puck in there by any means necessary. And I just really like the way he's played around that goal so far this year. I mean, he scored so many of those dirty goals at the top of the crease, keeping his stick on the ice, just finding ways to quickly get pucks on net when the goaltenders aren't ready. And then he's winning a lot of puck battles below the goal line. That's one thing I've really noticed with him. He's physical. He's winning battles. And I think, you know, with him being a captain on that top line, I think a few of the freshmen are taking after that. Brennan Ali's really impressed me, especially last night with the way he's won puck battles. Cole Knuble's doing it as well with his big frame. Landon Slager's been everything we could have asked for and more through this first month of the season.
Yeah, he's been great so far. Notre Dame sitting at 3-3-0 after an interesting overtime win against Mercyhurst last night. I believe the final shots were 54-27 in favor of Notre Dame. Yeah, the Irish enter the third period down 3-1. They get two goals fairly early in the period to tie it up. And then in overtime, as we mentioned, Landon Slaggart gets a breakaway pass. Was it Bavaro who made that pass?
Seedham again.
It was Seedham, that's Seedham. Right. Yes. Make sure to read Ryan Murphy's feature in The Observer from a couple days ago about Ryan Seedham. It was very good. And you can also look
He was very good last night. You know, like Notre Dame just 6D, 13 forwards, and Seedham and Bavaro had to play a lot of the minutes because they weren't going to put Hunter Weiss and Danny Nelson on the ice together. They had to put them on with one of the two of those guys.
Yeah.
And obviously that pass to find Landon coming off the bench was pretty sweet, but I thought Seedham was rock solid the whole game, really.
Yeah, that was impressive from Notre Dame to, you know, to go down 3-1 early. You know you're outplaying the Lakers, and you know, you're undermanned defensively, obviously, with the injuries to Boltman and Master Domenico and Helliwell being suspended. He'll be back tonight, but I mean, for Notre Dame to hold that fort together, being undermanned, being down again, but you know this time, unlike BU, you know you're outplaying the opposition, and you get it right back so quickly in the third. That's a good sign for them. You know, hockey's one of those sports where you can't expect to show up to the rink every single day and, you know, just handily beat whoever you're matched up against if you're expected to. Obviously, Notre Dame expected to get the better of Mercyhurst this weekend, but it can be tough. Sometimes the pucks don't bounce your way, and Notre Dame waited it out, got the job done, and you know, now the onus is on doing it again tonight and probably winning a little more convincingly.
Yeah, I do think that the way tonight's game goes kind of determines how big last night's win was, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you pull a game out of the fire like they did last night, you know, it can be a momentum builder, but it also, if you don't, you know, follow it, that energy up the next night with a strong, if not stronger, performance, it can almost feel like, well, we barely beat them on night one and we barely beat them on night two. That's not so much a confidence builder after all.
Yeah, and it's important, obviously, because, you know, next weekend, Notre Dame starts conference play at Penn State. First game is TBA, second game is 4:30.
It's a Saturday-Sunday, right?
It is, Saturday-Sunday. So
weird.
Getting back to that after the Thursday-Friday.
Long
well, you're not
I'll
getting back
it.
To that. Usually it's Friday-Saturday. So, yeah, can't get a normal weekend schedule for the Irish. But, yeah, Big Ten play begins. Irish only have three non-conference games after tonight, it looks like, the rest of the way. One against BC and their amazing first-line center cutter, Gauthier. And then
Eagles
two
are playing well.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a good year.
And a big win last night.
Boston yes, Hockey, did. It looks like, in college. Good year for Boston hockey in general.
Yeah.
And can we shout out what Wisconsin did last night? I know you were talking about getting home from Notre Dame and either doing that or studying
I did not get back in time to watch the third period. I wish I had to study. Who studies anymore?
I know.
No, but yeah, big win for Wisconsin's for real. They got a coach that's for real, that's for certain.
Yeah, 5-2 win over number one Minnesota on the road.
That team always had talent. I thought when they were here last year that they were a talented group, and I'm never a blame the coach guy. I'm not.
Yeah.
But it
Dom Ducharme.
Dom Ducharme. I didn't even blame Dom Ducharme when he was with the Habs. That's how much of a not blame the coach I am. But you know what? It appeared to me last year. I was like, this kind of looks like a coaching problem, and it looks like it was because Mike Hastings got those guys going.
Yeah, I've got a few bad memories of Mike Hastings rooting for my hometown Omaha team, the WCHA. So I'm glad. I guess I can't be too glad he's succeeding in my conference again, but hey, it's nice to see Wisconsin back on the the stage of relevancy again. They're more than relevant now. They're playing great hockey. They could easily be ranked inside the top 10 after
6-1.
Yeah.
Exactly what
that's pretty darn good.
Exactly what the poor, weak, irrelevant Big Ten needed, another good team.
Yeah, I mean it's loaded again. I mean, I think Penn State and Ohio State have kind of showed that they're a little, they don't look as strong as they did last year, at least if you look at their you know, resume on paper, right? But, you know, you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, if those teams took a step back, but Wisconsin and Michigan State took a major step forward, and I don't really think Penn State and Ohio State took a step back, a big one, right? So, yeah.
Something's got to give, though.
Something's got to give.
All right. We're 20 minutes in or so. Do you guys want to stick with college, or do you want to start to transition?
All up to you, host. I don't mind transitioning. Yeah, I know we did a lot of college hockey 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We can do the NHL heavy
yeah,
today.
That's good. And I have something I actually want to do for the NHL.
Oh, right.
But it's not Puktoku, but I also do want to do that. So for today's grid, we have horizontally Wild, Devils, and 40-plus assists in a single season. And then for vertical, we have Ryan's Canadians once again, second straight show.
Yeah.
The Lightning and the Penguins. All right, let's. I'm gonna start us off with a great one. Pittsburgh, Minnesota. Frederick Gaudreau.
Oh, there you go.
1%. Bang.
I think was John Merrill on the Canadiens and the Wild.
Yes, that would work. Also, Dubnyk was on the Hab. Why did I think that for a second?
Was Anton Strahlman a Devil in addition to a member of the Lightning?
He might have been. I'm gonna go Pat Maroon for that one. For 4% for Lightning Devils. We'll go with Ty Smith for Devils Penguins, the classic lesser player in the big trade. 8%.
The Canadiens Devils is kind of giving me trauma. There is one player that comes to mind, and one Scott Gomez. That is extremely painful to think about.
I was going to say Tyler Toffoli. I know he's probably like the highest score. Here, for Canadians 40 plus assists, I'm going to go with Jonathan Drouin.
Oh, yeah, with that one good season.
Wait, no, he didn't have it.
Did Max Domi get 40 plus
maybe
assists?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. He definitely did, yeah, 1%.
Max Domi did, yeah, 1%.
I also thought I was thinking Galchenyuk. Lightning 40 plus assists. I think Yanni Gourde got there. No, I'm terrible.
PK Subban had 40 assists.
Well, he's not. Oh yeah, I guess you could go with him. That's a good one. I didn't think about going defenseman. I'm stealing that now. Victor Hedman.
Victor Hedman.
Yeah, bang. And then I'm going
Chris Letang.
Yeah, Chris Letang. Bang. I actually got higher scores than I thought. All right. Well, my thing is busted, so I'm just going to put Toffoli for Devils, Canadians, and give up 245.
James Neal for the Pens.
For 40. That's a good one. What was he, like 3%?
1%.
Jeez.
Actually.
Yeah, that's
he had 40 assists.
How yeah, long, he had.
How long was he?
I
with
think
the
11.
Penguins?
He was there a while.
Yeah, it was
11,
about 10 years, right?
What?
Maybe a little less, but
what?
It was
was
a good,
I
was a good chunk of the early 20s.
Four years, actually.
Oh, was okay. It?
But yeah, he had a 40-40 season in 11-12.
Yeah,
40 goals, 41 assists.
I totally forgot he was even on the Penguins.
He's bounced totally around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Got heart votes that year.
James Neal for the Hart Trophy. That's, wow. Yeah. I remember one year I picked him up on fantasy just thinking he was going to do so good in Edmonton, and he was.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Well, yeah, because he got traded there from Calgary, and he had, like, that one insane
right.
start where he had, like, five goals in, like, six games.
Yeah,
to
weird.
Start the year, and then.
Weird year.
Yeah.
I have three spots remaining and three tries. So I have Devils, Penguins, and Devils, Lightning, and Wild Lightning, and I missed what we said for, I think, for a couple of them.
Okay, for Devils Lightning, I had Pat Maroon.
Pat Maroon.
And then for Penguins Devils, I had Ty Smith. So, yeah, the Lightning.
Lightning Wild.
Oh, well,
oh,
you,
didn't they make some...
I was going to say you could put Pat Maroon, but we've already burned that.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been a better...
Pat Maroon's played for a lot more teams than I thought. Wow.
Yeah, he's been around...
Wild. Minnesota.
I didn't even realize he was in New Jersey at any point, to be honest.
This is what it is when it's like Bill Guerin is like the most popular one, and it's just like, I hate when that happens.
Minnesota.
Oh, I should see who the most popular one is. Yeah, it is Pat Maroon by a long shot.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
47%, jeez. Yeah, because the Palat for Devil's Lightning. That might have been better.
Minnesota. I don't know. I'm tossing in my hat.
Here.
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
It does. Okay. Man. The top, it gives you the
give
top
us the top
six.
Five or six. Yeah.
So, Dwayne Rolison.
Oh, wow.
18.2%.
So not, nobody got it, is
no.
What I'm hearing. If Dwayne Rolison's 18%, that 18% is like
I'm,
eight
I will
people.
Say I'm mad that I did not get number three on this list, and that's JT Brown.
Oh, that's fairly recent.
Yeah. He was like a depth forward. He was on the 15 Lightning team that made the final. Yeah. Fourth line guy. Does he do media now?
I think he did. Was he doing media out in Seattle, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Might have been
right.
The color guy out in Seattle. Yeah. Yeah, he is. And
He has a TV analyst for the Kraken. And then after him is former teammate of Nick Schultz, Philip Kuba. Ian Cole, Notre Dame product.
Ian Cole.
I did not remember him playing for the Wild at all.
I don't either.
Was that a deadline thing? What about a deadline thing? When was he on the Wild?
He was there
2021.
Yeah. Half a season.
No, well, a full season because it was
games.
The short
season.
He played the first few games of that year for the Avalanche, and then they traded him.
Yep.
Talk about a guy who's bounced. I did not realize he played 4 or 5 seasons with the Blues. And then Dominic Moore, who I had no idea was ever on either team, honestly.
I remember him with the Lightning.
Yeah,
a little bit with the Lightning, I do remember
with
the Lightning.
When he was with Minnesota.
I remember always thinking of him with, like, the Rangers, the Bruins, the Maple Leafs. But, yeah, I do not remember the Wild as being part of that. But, yeah. All right. So I want to do something that is slightly outdated, given that we're already 2 weeks into the season. But you know what? It's not too late, and I want to do it. So we're doing it. Are you guys familiar with the Down Goes Brown prediction contest?
I've read it before, yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome.
So how it works is, for anyone listening, so Down Goes Brown, a.k.a. Sean McIndoe, or I guess I should say Sean McIndoe, a.k.a. Down Goes Brown. But honestly, I think
he goes by Down Goes Brown more than Sean McIndoe.
Yeah. He started doing this prediction contest on The Athletic, who he writes for, a few years ago. Basically, he asks readers, it's 10 questions plus a bonus question. So for the first 10 questions, just very basic questions about the NHL season. And for each question, you can give up to 5 answers. So the first question is name up to 5 teams that will make the playoffs this year. So if you guess one team, you get 1 point correctly. If you get past 2, you get 3 points, because 1 for the first team plus 2. So you can get up to 10 points for each question because you get up to 5 answers. If you go 4 for, if you give 5 answers and all 5 are right, you get all 10 points. If you give all 5 answers and all are wrong, you get no points. If you get 4 right out of 5, you still get no points.
Oh,
it
wow.
is all
wow.
or nothing.
That's cutthroat.
So it's a strategy because you don't have to go all the way up to 5. You can stop at, say, 3 guesses for a question if you're not certain play it a little bit safer.
So then you'll get 6 points and not all 10.
Exactly. Okay. So it's the risk-reward management.
Wow.
There is also a bonus question that if you get it right is worth 15 points, but if you get it wrong, your entry is an automatic 0. The entire entry, not just that question. The entire entry is
a
0.
A lot for a Friday
this is a
morning.
Little, this is some wagering here.
So I
push
I've,
your chips in.
Yeah,
I've already done this. I have my guesses here.
This is a lot for a Friday morning. I'm waking up.
Yeah, we gotta get in and out.
My brain,
it's already kind of too late.
My brain is even better at this stuff when I'm just waking up, have nothing rational in my mind, nothing worth of logic. I'm just going to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
What can go wrong?
I think that's the way for a lot of people, honestly. All right.
That's how we are through all our days, really, but.
Yes. So, first question, like I said, I just said it a few minutes ago. Which name up to 5 teams that will make the Stanley Cup playoffs? I said Vegas, Colorado, Carolina, New Jersey, and Edmonton.
Ooh, okay. You might be losing all your points.
Well, see, for this one, I'd only lose for this question, which would be suboptimal.
Right,
which of you would like to go first?
I think I'll go first. I'm also going to go with 5. I will go Vegas, Dallas, Colorado, Toronto, and Carolina.
Got it.
I'll take those 5.
Yeah, I'm going to do 5 as well. I think this is the question that it makes sense to do 5 for. Right?
A lot of the team-based ones, it's easier to get 5.
Vegas, Colorado, Carolina, that's 3, New Jersey, and Toronto. by five.
Somehow I, like the biggest Leafs fan on this show by far, did not. It was the only one that didn't have the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I hate to have faith in them, but I do.
In fairness, mine was made before the 5-2-0 start, so. But I probably should have had them anyway. Number two, the exact opposite. Name up to five teams that will definitely miss the playoffs.
Oh.
This might be harder.
Oh, this is my territory right here. Here we go.
If you say the Flyers, I'm not sure whether they give you an automatic negative 30 or to be happy.
What's your five, McGinnis?
I have Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, Chicago, and Montreal.
Oh.
I know I should have put the Flyers in there, probably over the Coyotes, but I just couldn't bring myself.
I would have put the Flyers in there instead of the Habs. As a Habs fan, you probably would have put the Habs in there instead of the Flyers as a Flyers fan. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm just going to give you the free space in San Jose now.
Yep. Do you want me to go first here, Tyler? I'm going to take...
They looked terrible so far.
San Jose, Chicago, Arizona, Washington. Washington.
Yeah, they look...
I mean, dead.
I just
didn't realize how bad things looked in Washington until I watched them last Saturday night. Or I didn't even watch them the whole time. My fifth team here. I'm deliberating here. Columbus.
Yeah, good. That's a fairly safe one. Shockingly, Damon Severson and Ivan Provorov are not enough to fix all of their flaws.
That's pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty close to my five. I've got Chicago, San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim, and Columbus.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I don't know. Arizona seems like a fun team. Like they could like vibes their way to like a wild card.
Vibes their way to a wild card. I love that.
It happens. all right, this is a new question he added this year, which I think is really interesting. Name up to five teams that will finish in the middle 16 of the regular season standings. So between 9th and 24th.
Mid teams. I love that.
I feel like this question was made for the Minnesota Wild, who I actually didn't put in my mid five.
Hard reject. I think they look great so far this year.
Well, see, they could look great, but if they finish like third in the Central, then they're probably 9th. Even if they're second, they might be.
So this is just top to bottom, 1 to 32, who's 9 through 24.
I have Seattle, Vancouver, Nashville, Winnipeg, Detroit. I'm not sure if all five was the move here, but that's what I went with. Out of all of them, I feel like this is one that could take like the most time.
It definitely could. Okay, I've got one.
Fortunately, we're all broadcasters, so we know the importance of not leaving dead air.
And we usually can come up with things to fill dead air. Okay, I will go with, I don't know if I have the full five yet, but I can filibuster here a little bit. Montreal, I think we're going to do it, guys. We're going to reach mid. We're going to reach mid this
year. Hang the batter, 24th.
I just forgot who my...
One standings place for each cup, right?
That's right. Let's go. St. Louis. Definitely going to be a mid-tier team. Calgary.
That's a good one. Even if they have started poor this year.
New York Islanders.
Classic.
And... oh. I feel like it's dangerous to pick any other Atlantic team, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's going to be one that's in there between 9 and 24. I'm just afraid to pick whether it's going to be Ottawa or Buffalo or Florida or...
I also think like Tampa might be the most likely of that group, given no Vasilevskiy so far.
I know what I'm going with. Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
Winnipeg, Pittsburgh, Florida, the Isles... and I'm tempted to cut it off there.
Pittsburgh's a good one because you know they have a floor. Like, not many teams in the NHL have a floor, but when you have Sidney Crosby on your team, you have a floor, yeah. Right?
They're
their ceiling doesn't look very high right now.
Yeah, but they
were
old last year, and they were in this range.
Yep.
Yeah. Do I want a fifth?
But, Andrew, they're older this year than last year.
By 1 year.
I will take Nashville for my fifth.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad about not taking five. Everybody else is taking five so
but
far.
But see, that's the.
I know. Maybe
that's an opportunity to potentially make up points if that fifth team cost Murph or I.
Maybe we'll get there later.
Okay. Name up to five coaches who will not be fired or otherwise leave their job before July 1st, 2024, not including any coach who has held their job for less than 1 year. So coaches who are invalid guesses: Pascal Vincent in Columbus, Pierre LaViolette with the Rangers, Ryan Huska with the Flames, Greg Cronin with the Ducks, Andrew Brunette with the Predators, Spencer Carberry with Washington, and Rick Tocchet with Vancouver. So you cannot guess any of those coaches.
Can you repeat the original prompt there for a second?
Yes.
Not the coaches.
Name up to five coaches who will not be fired or otherwise leave their job before July 1st, 2024.
Can't include the first-year head coaches.
Yes.
Okay.
So that includes resignations. It also includes if someone goes up to, like, the front office.
Okay.
Like, the next question is going to be about the GMs, and everyone got screwed 2 years ago when Joe Sakic became president of hockey ops in, like, mid-June, which technically counted as him leaving the position. My five were John Tortorella, Bruce Cassidy, Jared Bednar, Paul Maurice, and Jim Montgomery. So Flyers, Golden Knights.
Is
Avs, Luke, Panthers, Bruins.
Is Luke Richardson on the list of people I can't pick?
No, he was hired in June 22.
Yep. So Luke Richardson, former Habs coach,
current
Habs coach, Marty St. Louis. I agree with Jim Montgomery.
Wait, who is Luke Richardson coaching?
Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jared Bednar. And I think I'm going to leave it there.
Interesting.
I'll go five. Andrew, mine's pretty similar to yours. I got Bednar with Colorado, Cassidy with Vegas. I have Luke Richardson as well. Jim Montgomery, and who was my fifth? Where is he? Oh yeah, Torts.
Yes,
there we go.
See, it's just about as much knowing like which teams are good as like also like which teams had like the recent hires.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say there's a chance that Torts maybe could go into a management role before July 1st.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I think it's pretty unlikely this year. I think it maybe happens further down the line, like 2 years or so,
okay.
But. Yeah, you never know. Next question is the exact same, but for general managers, and the cutoff for ineligible candidates extends to 2 years.
Oh.
So you cannot guess Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh, Barry Trotz in Nashville, Brad Tree Living in Toronto, formerly in Calgary, Craig Conroy, who is in Calgary, former five for funding Irish guest Danny Briere with the Philadelphia Flyers. Chris McFarland in Colorado,
there's
I believe.
A lot of new GMs in the last
two
years.
And I'm not even finished yet. Mike Greer in San Jose, Pat Verbeek in Anaheim, Patrick Alvin with the team that I can't remember right now. Vancouver, there it is.
No.
Kent Hughes with your Canadiens, and Kyle Davidson with your Blackhawks.
Little music break. Just wanted to wake you all up in case you're falling asleep on us, everybody.
That was intentional.
Wow, that's a hefty lift of.
Yeah, that's almost half the lead.
That's almost half the lead.
I still managed to go with all five though.
Wow.
I have did I forget what Fitzgerald I put? Hold on. Cause there's two Fitzgeralds. I think I said the Coyotes one. Right? Or why am I up? I'm just to the other four I did. I had Bill Armstrong, Kevin Adams, Steve Yzerman, and Jim Nill. Tom Fitzgerald, there it is.
Yeah, he's on my list.
From the New Jersey Devils, yes. Well, actually, I met over the summer. Seemed like in a group setting, not like personally. Did not have a Kyle from Chicago moment with him. But nice guy, for sure.
Kyle from Chicago is also on my list.
Yeah, well, no, he can't be.
I think he can't?
I'm pretty sure he was in that list of GMs I read off. Because it's 2 years for the GMs, not just one.
Well,
yeah, Davidson is not eligible.
Well, he was hired on October 26, 2021, so he just got past 2 years yesterday.
Oh, come on.
The contest deadline was 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh,
you looked up the date, didn't you?
No, I have it on the list right here. October 26, 2021.
Hmm.
All right. Well, I'll find someone outside. I'm heartbroken. I can't pick Kyle from Chicago. I thought he had a great draft. I'll go with
yes.
Oliver Moore looks really good in Minnesota. But yeah, Kelly McCrimmon is on my list. So
how did I miss him?
So is Ron Francis with Seattle. Tom Fitzgerald, New Jersey, like you said. Steve Yzerman. I think Detroit is certainly moving in the right direction. And do I want a fifth? Do I want a fifth? I'm not sure I do. Yeah, Bill Armstrong.
All right.
There's my five.
I'm working on it here. I'm close here.
Okay. What do you got so far?
I have Steve Yzerman, Jim Nill, Bill Guerin.
Solid one there.
I had seen Julian Brisebois, and my last guy. Where is he on this list? I had him for a minute. I don't know where he went. Where'd you go, Rob Blake?
Gotcha. That's his good one right there. LA has been solid the last couple of years, and I don't feel like this is an all-in year for them or anything.
No, those are just, you know, I think I've gone with like guys who like I get the gut feel that their organizations and their fan bases are pretty comfortable with them right now. Like Brisebois, you know, the Tampa Bay fans aren't going to throw stones, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see how the Stamkos situation goes.
True.
Name up to five goaltenders who will start at least 50 games this season. Ooh. This is historically a question that has caused some carnage. I went with five, which is risky.
Yeah,
Igor Shesterkin, Ilya Sorokin, Thatcher Demko, UC Saros, and Connor Hellebuck were my picks. I know Demko seems like a bit of an outlier, but Vancouver doesn't really have like a quality backup, and I feel like they kind of need to rely on him if they're going to be a playoff team this year.
I am so tempted to sit this one out. I'll be honest with you.
Entirely?
There's no point in doing that.
You should
that,
guess at least one.
Yeah, guess at least a couple. But, man, this is one where injuries come in.
Exactly.
That makes it tough. Yeah, you can't sit out entirely. That's right.
I mean, you could, but it would be pretty foolish.
There's no point to that. Yeah,
you should at least make one.
I, for some reason, had in my mind that you would lose points for picking people, but that is not the case.
I'm going to go with three.
Okay.
Sorokin, Hellebuck, and Saros. I was going to also go Shesterkin, and I had a gut feel that was like, no, don't do that. So I'm going to go now.
Is his starter role is going to be stolen by Jonathan Quick, right?
That's right.
Current goals against average leader as of last
Jonathan
night.
Quick.
Is he still? Yeah, 0.41 goals against average. I think it went down. I think it was at 0.7
going
into last night.
How many games has he played? The end of one?
He's got a .982 save percentage. He's played in three games.
Oh, okay.
Two starts. So.
Okay. Hey, that's not bad.
It's more than I thought for so early in the season.
I'll go Sorokin, Hellebuck, and Demko, and I'll leave it there.
Demko over Shesterkin. Interesting. That's one that could either age really well or really poorly.
We'll see.
All right, this is also a question that is very hard, and this is one that I have this is my first question where I did not max out. Name up to five rookies who will finish in the top 10 in Calder balloting. Shout out to this question a couple years ago when everyone put Alexi Lafreniere and he didn't come first.
Yeah.
I put Connor Bedard, Adam Fantilli, Logan Cooley. Best prospect in the world, Logan Cooley, as the Arizona Coyotes referred to him as.
Do they really refer to him as that?
And like a press release a couple weeks ago.
That's
right before the start of the season.
Hilarious.
Shout out to the Steve Dangle podcast for making me aware of that.
I think you can safely add one more to that list.
And that would be?
Luke Hughes. And that'll be my four.
That's a good one.
Bedard, Hughes, Cooley, and Fantilli.
Huh. I forgot about Luke Hughes.
I'm tempted to just go with that four too. I feel like that'd be a copycat, but I can't think of any more or I'm gonna take Fantilli off that list. I'm gonna go three. I'm gonna go Cooley, Bedard, and Hughes.
Samuel Erson. No, okay.
Carter Gauthier.
Hey, you know,
just waiting for him to join at the end of the season.
Hey, Ryan Howard won Rookie of the Year for the Phillies and playing like half a season in 2005, and Rhys Hoskins finished like fourth with like 2 months. So
it can be done.
It can be done in an entirely different sport, but in entirely different circumstances. Question 8: name up to 5 defensemen who will finish in the top 10 of Norris Trophy balloting. I also did not max out here. I went with 4. I went Adam Fox, Cale Makar, Roman Josi, and then a little off the board with Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah, Makar's a lock. I'll say that right now.
Unless you believe in the NHL cover jinx. Although that might just jinx the game itself at this point.
I don't not believe in the NHL cover jinx. Just going to say it.
Has there been any have one recently that would like cause you?
PK? Was PK on the cover a few years ago? I don't know. Maybe he
was. He was with Nashville.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Yeah, not good things.
Yeah. Makar is a lock. Agreed. Would I be crazy to suggest Slavin?
I was going to put him originally, and then I looked at balloting from past years, and he hadn't gotten that much attention.
No, I know.
But, like, he's so good. Like, he should be.
I could really just wreck myself here. I'm going to go Makar, Hedman, Slavin, Moritz Seider.
Ooh.
Wow.
And
spicy.
I'm going to... how many of that am I at? 4?
4.
I might leave it at that.
Okay. Tyler.
Makar leads my list as well.
I assume Kevin Korchinski is second.
Kevin Korchinski. No, actually, I'll take Caleb Jones.
Jared Tenorti.
Jared Tenorti.
Jared Former Tenorti. Hab.
He takes a lot of pucks to the face. Yeah, let's see. I like Makar. I like Adam Fox. And... you know, I'll take Rasmus Dahlin for my third, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
Good pick. Good pick.
All right, my friends. Number 9. Name up to 5 players who will finish in the top 15 of Hart Trophy voting. I didn't do this. I think last year, all 5 of my players had their last name starting with M, who I picked for this one. I have 3 of 4 this year who are McDavid, so I'm very happy that he only... is out like a week with that injury. McKinnon, Matthews, and then the outlier is Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah. McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon.
I mean, they are the 4 with the best odds right now.
Yeah. Those are going to be my starting 3.
Well, I had 4. Which one did you not have?
I haven't put Matthews in there yet. I don't want to totally copy you, but...
Yeah, no, I mean...
I mean, yeah, Matthews.
Yeah. Hard to say no, especially the way he started.
Really hard to say no to that. I'm gonna cook up another one. I just don't know who I'm going with yet.
Okay, okay.
give me a little second to dive into the research here.
What about like Pastrnak, perhaps? I mean, the way he started the year, Boston's gonna need him.
Yeah, I don't want to pick a Bruin.
I mean, yeah, I get that.
I don't want to.
Fair.
I didn't want to pick Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
I really was trying to not pick Austin Matthews.
Yeah, yeah. Who else has been? Who's started?
I said New Jersey was going to the playoffs, right?
You did.
Yes.
And guess who's leading the league in points right now?
Yeah. Yeah. That's tempting, you know? I feel like I wouldn't have picked him if... I wasn't seeing him leading the league in points. I still might not pick him, but, like, New Jersey's going to make a run. Who are they going to need?
Yeah.
Jack Hughes.
I mean, he must have gotten some down ballot votes last year as well. Yeah, he was 8th last year.
Give me Jack Hughes.
Yeah. I probably should have had
him. That's a good pick. I want to do it, but I don't think I've got the guts for it. So I will take McDavid, Pastrnak, Draisaitl, Matthews, and McKinnon.
All right. Last question. This is a bit of a weird, not a weird one, but it's a little unique compared to the other ones. Name up to five players who are currently on an NHL roster who will change teams between puck drop on opening night and the end of the first day of 2024 free agency. This means they must get a new roster via trade, free agency, waivers, or whatever else, but does not include retirement, leaving the league entirely, or being an unsigned free agent.
I like this question.
Yes. So what I usually do is I go to Cap Friendly and look up the players who are UFAs at the end of the year. I look at ones who I think are most likely to either be traded or sign on July 1st, obviously.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't want you guys to be racking your brains forever. my five, Anthony Mantha, Kevin LeBanc, Brett Pesce, Drak Roslovic, Anthony Duclair. I feel scared about LeBanc now, given I did not realize his stock was seen so low. I mean, he also got put on waivers the other day. Which would have...
Yeah, I saw that, and he...
But then he didn't.
Right. Yeah, that was weird.
Sharks are weird, man. Can be honest, even if Mike Greer was not exempt from the GM question,
okay,
I would not have
picked him. I'm not going to put him. I'm not going to put him. But I would love if William Nylander was no longer on the Toronto Maple Leaf as a resident Leafs hater. Like, I am all over, like, I want the Canadians to open up the checkbook so bad for him. Will it happen? No. But I've had this pipe dream for 3 years. I digress.
I am going to implore you to go somewhat quickly because I have to leave in like 5 minutes.
Yep.
Or we could come back to this as sort of next week and we could do the bonus question now.
Tyler Bertuzzi is going to be one of them. I don't think he's coming back to the Leafs. And... that's just, I'm going to, yeah. We might have to come back to that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We can start next week's show with that. Tyler, do you have anyone you want to put in right now?
I'll also go with Pesce. I don't know if I've got anyone else outside of that. Let's see. Peter Mrazek.
Ooh.
Those will be my two.
The way you said that just made me laugh. Screw it. Peter Mrazek.
Okay. So, last question now. This is the bonus question.
All or nothing.
As a reminder, if you get this question correct, you get 15 points. If you get it wrong, your entire entry is a zero. You do not have to answer. You can sit this one out. This one you do not have to give an answer for if you do not want to risk it. Jacob Irons is rushing in because he cannot handle the 7-second delay that would result from him listening to the show like normal. Jacob Irons, for 15 bonus points in a question you are not participating in.
Got it.
Can you name one, and only one, NHL player who will do these two things this year? Score at least 100 points, and not be an Edmonton Oiler. Which means you cannot pick Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
who did
have 100 points last year. You do not have to answer because you can just sit this question out if you want.
No. Give me Marchand.
Brad Marchand.
I mean, it could happen.
Okay.
Chips in. Once again, I'm a Bees fan. Like, I don't watch that much hockey, but when I do, I am all in on the Bruins.
He has hit 100 points before. Hit 100 on the nose in 18-19.
Give me Marchand. I think
7-7 games so far this year.
Yeah. Give me
with
him.
Like Morgan Geeky as his center.
Yeah. Let me just say that. Also, breaking news. Neil Ivey hitting Duncan Student Center this morning with Leprechaun Colin bringing out Krispy Kreme donuts for students trying to get them hype with their season opener on November 6th. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
You were there.
We have to go to
class here.
I need answers quickly from Tyler and Ryan, or lack thereof answers.
Are you going to go for it, Tyler?
Do it.
Did you do it, Andrew?
I did. I went Nathan McKinnon.
I so want to pass. I so want to pass.
I kind of do too.
I will go McKinnon. It's going to be someone, you know?
Well, yeah, there's last year. Here's the people who did it last year. Pulling up quickly. Very quickly. David Pastrnak, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan McKinnon, Jason Robertson, Matthew Tkachuk, Mikko Rantanen, Elias Pettersson, Erik Karlsson. Jack Hughes and Mitch Marner were at 99. Braden Point was at 95.
Yeah. Give me McKinnon.
Tyler Reedy. Do you,
you
want Iguodala?
Do I want? Give me Iguodala. No.
Probably not because he's retired.
The Martians have the death beam. They have the death beam pointed at us.
The death beam goes through ice. It doesn't matter.
But I'm going to spice this up a little bit. I'm going to go with a teammate of Nathan McKinnon. I want Mikko Rantanen.
All right, I like
it. I want Mikko Rantanen.
I think that it's going to age
so
better.
So we're going to be watching the Avs locked in for all 82 now.
You're gonna order my McKinnon jersey. For
yeah.
Sure. My chickpea pasta. My McKinnon chickpea pasta, if you remember that storyline from a couple of years ago. But that's all the time we have for today because Jake and I have a class we have to rush to.
Jason Kelly.
Yes. Let's go.
Let's go.
Thank you so much to listening this week. We'll be back next Friday with those players that you guys think are leaving. Make sure to do your research. Yeah, I'm giving you homework. Deal with it.
R.A. McGinnis here.
Yeah. Authority figure. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Have a nice week.